I want to do another short reading for you, and it says, this one's about suffering for doing good, which probably you've experienced before. Yeah, probably, yeah, no, no. And it says here, but if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in him. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Amen. So, there's things that we suffer for doing good for, but who's been punished for being naughty? Oh, lots of hands going up. Oh my goodness me, this is good. So why did you get, what did you do that was naughty? You don't mind sharing? Well, they hit you first, didn't they? Got it served, isn't it? For hitting our brothers, you're going to trouble us. They're smaller, aren't they? The bigger? Oh, well done. Good on you. Yeah. Good. Give them a wallop here. Yeah. Anybody else? What about you?
I was on my iPad.
Oh, you went on your iPad and you weren't supposed to. Oh, these iPads and kids now. Oh, here's somebody here. For being a complete misery gut, so that sounds good, but when you get to your age, that's sort of compulsory. You can't. It's genetic, so it just gets worse till you're about 16. So I think that's something your parents have to live with, unfortunately. So that's just a part of it, isn't it? So yeah. What about adults? Have you ever been in trouble, adult? Did you get who's got a speeding ticket? I've never had a speeding ticket, yeah. Not because I'm sped, but just I'm who's had a speeding ticket, yeah? Yeah, yeah. Well, what else? Who? Oh dear. So anything else? No, you're all good people, are you? But there's nothing worse than when you're trying to do, you know, it's fair enough, isn't it, that when you get punished for doing something bad. Now, have parents got any techniques for trying to discipline their children? I think I've got a picture up here. I hope they'll come up. We'll see in a minute. And it's a picture of a discipline called the naughty step. Who's ever experienced the naughty step? Some of you are too. Yeah. Yeah, so we hardly use it, Isabella, the naughty step anymore, isn't it? As you get older, there's techniques called time out. Who's had a time out? Yeah. And there's a new technique. If you're really cool parents, you don't give your child a naughty step or a time out because that's discipline. You can get them to meditate. And you sit with them and you meditate and you think, now we're going to spend time in quiet, take a breath, and think about why you did wrong and why that affects the universe. Nobody experienced that, no? I find a naughty step much more effective than trying to get a child to meditate. But there's all these techniques, but the naughty step is that, who wants to practice with me? Anybody want to go? Who wants to be the naughty child? Anybody? Come on then. And I'm giving you a warning, okay? You've been very naughty, right? Do you understand what you've done wrong? You go, no. Right, so because you don't understand what you've done wrong, what's next bit? I'm going to put you in a naughty step, okay? So you cannot be in a naughty step there. You can sit down there. And you've got to sit there until you understand what you've done wrong, okay? Okay, and then I walk away. And then you go up and play and mess around and do things while I walk away. Or you can cry and go, don't leave me here. And then you've got to set your timer for a minute. This is what you've got to do. Parents, a minute. And then you come back and you explain, do you realise that you've done wrong? You go, yes. Okay. Now what does it say? Now I want an apology. Are you going to apologize? And this is where you spend more time in the naughty step because you won't apologize. So what do you say? You say you're sorry. Oh, isn't that nice? And then hugs and kisses. But because of child protection, I can't hug or kiss you. But you may go back to your seat now. So we've got all these things for helping us discipline the children when they've done something naughty. And it's fair enough, isn't it? When we've done something naughty, we should get some form of correction, shouldn't we, to help us realise what we've done wrong. Is anybody upset when they get told off by their parents for doing something wrong? You do get upset, but they're right, aren't they? Sometimes they're right, aren't they? Sometimes they're right. But what about when you're doing something good and you get told off? Who's done something good and been told off for it? Yeah, what have you done?
I was helping my friend get up, then someone said I pushed them up.
So somebody fell over, you were helping them up, and then somebody blamed you for pushing them over. That's horrible, isn't it? How did you feel? Sad, isn't it? Because it feels sad when you're told off for doing something good. What about some hands up here? Your hand up?
Yeah.
You can't think of it? No.
Yeah.
Yeah? You don't want to share it, though? You just got to tease us.
Yeah.
Oh, you got upset because somebody told the teacher that you had upset them? Oh. What about here? Anybody else? What about you? Oh, did you hear that? He told his dad that his brother had his phone when he shouldn't have had, and then his dad told him off for being a tattletale. Yeah, my goodness. We need to speak to your dad, don't we, really? Sometimes at school, somebody goes out and says, can you help me with this? Can you help me? I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me? And then you go, or they ask you for a rubber or something else, and then you say something to them, you help them, don't you? And then what does the teacher do? Why are you talking? Why are you doing that? Stop it now, children. You naughty child. You shouldn't be talking. And you say, but I'm just trying to help my friend. They say, I don't care. Don't talk in my class. Is that what they do? Yeah, sadly, isn't it? How dare you? It's my classroom, Tim says. Yeah, so it's horrible, isn't it? Because you're just trying to do something nice for your friend and you get told off and you feel sad. But now, the worst thing is, What about grandparents? I feel sorry for grandparents, don't you? Yeah. No. Grandparents have got a common enemy. Grandparents and children have a common enemy. They're called parents. You've got parents on one hand trying to do what they want to do with their children. Then you've got the parents who don't want to do what their parents do. And then you've got grandparents who love to spoil their children and do everything that the parents don't want them to do. And the children just go, grandparents go, are you allowed crisps? Yes, Granny, of course I'm allowed crisps. Then the parents go, ooh. And it's incredible, isn't it? You know, because, you know, grandparents sometimes, they look after the children. They maybe look after children for lots of hours all week when the parents are working. They're providing all this free childcare. And then Granny goes and looks after the child and then goes out and says, oh, I love my grandchildren. I'm just going to spoil them. So what does Granny do? She gets out the fruit pastels. She gets out the crisps and goes, I just want to spoil them. Here you go. Eat them. Enjoy them. You know, we have that when we go to Scotland to visit, when Isabella goes to her granny. You know, we say to her, look, this is not reality. This is a few days of sugar-induced hallucinations. When you come home, we will have to detox you and take you off the sugar again. But enjoy the 3 days of of sugar and hyperactivity because your granny and your auntie's going to look after you. We're going away. So there's that sense. And then I remember one person telling me, you know, and it was quite sad because they've been all with their grandparents all week. They looked after all the grandchildren all week and cared for them. And they just wanted to spoil the grandchildren. You know, they really loved them. And so they were giving them crisps and some, all the naughty things they shouldn't really get, but your granny, your grandpa give you. And then They'd been there all week looking after their grandchildren, really tired, really exhausted. They got to Friday night, they were sitting going, oh, thank goodness that's over. You know, we love our grandchildren, but thank goodness they're with their parents again. And then the lady's daughter-in-law phones up. That's all, your daughter-in-law phones up. That's sure you're in trouble, aren't you? Woo! She phones up and the granny's thinking, she's going to say, thank you for looking after the children all week. We really appreciate it. It's wonderful that you did that. And this granny's going, oh, I'm so excited. She wants to say thank you, and I've done a great job with the kids. And then she phones up, and the daughter-in-law goes, says, did you give the child crisps? Did you give them sweeties? Yes, but I just want to... Don't you dare give my child sweeties. Don't you do that. Oh. And then I said to the parent, how did you respond? They said, well, I didn't know what to say. I said, well, next time it happens, just say, okay, that's fine. I just want to spoil my grandchildren. I just want to look after them. I just want to do the best for them. But next time I come, I won't give them anything at all. I'll do whatever you want because I just love my grandchildren and I just want to be with them. I don't want any argument. And so she did that. And she told her daughter-in-law, said, I'm not giving any crisps, I'm not doing that, I don't want to have an argument, I just want to do what's best for you and for the kids. And then she put the phone down. I said, what do you do next time you looked after the grandkids? I gave them crisps and fruit pastels again. It's sometimes we get in trouble, we think we're doing good, but we get into trouble. And it's the same thing when we think about the world, isn't it? In Romans 15, it says, the world cries out. The world groans. Because the world's looking for to be saved. The world's looking to be renewed. The world's looking to have hope again. The world's looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ will come again. Because Jesus says he's going to make the whole world new. And he's going to make us new. He's going to transform us. And so the Bible says the whole world groans out for salvation. Because what do we do to the world? The world's there. God looked at the world and he said, he made the world and created the world and he said, it's good. And the world provides food, harvest, all the things that we need. It provides resources and different things. Loads of things the world provides, isn't it? And it's a good world, isn't it? But what do? We exploit the world, don't we? And what we're doing this moment, we're destroying the world around us. Because we want too much, don't we? We're always asking more and more and more and more of the world. And the world's given us really good things. It gives us all this food that we can eat. But sometimes with our lifestyles and the way we live, we make the world suffer, don't we? And actually, God made the world good. And so what should we have a responsibility to do? We should have a responsibility to make sure the world is always good for every generation, for every people, for every person, that the whole world could be blessed by God. So that's what we want to see. We want to see a world that's not suffering and not in pain, but a world that is blessed and fruitful and provides all our needs without us taking advantage and wasting. So the Bible says the world's suffering because the way we treat it, and it groans out for Jesus to come back to do it. So we've got to say, as Christians who believe in God, that we want to see the world as an amazing and a fantastic place. And I want to encourage you to think about how you can do good in the world. Jesus says that he sends us something incredible, are called fruits. And it's not apples and pears and that, but it's fruits of the Spirit, where he sends us love, peace, joy, hope. And when we accept Jesus into our life and believe in him, we believe we become different people. We're transformed. Something called the Spirit of God comes in us and makes us different. And we just flow out in love and peace and hope. So anybody who should meet a Christian like a piece of fruit. So if you're a Christian, you should be like an apple or a pear or a fruit. And when somebody sort of tastes you or walks by you or smells you, they say, that smells nice. that person tastes loving and kind and gentle and hopeful, and that's really nice. So as Christians, actually, we're meant to be fruitful as well. And people see us, they say, we're good. That they see God's love in us. So we have an amazing, incredible God, and I would encourage you to worship Him and praise Him and glorify His name and look after the earth and all the good things that God has given us and live wonderful and fantastic lives in Jesus Christ. Amen. What amazing God we have, that even though we don't deserve it, that God's reckless love, God's desire for us, God's love for us, God's passion for us comes and seeks us out. That God made the world in a way and He said it was good. And then we came and we start to bring our own values, our own way, our own life, how we live and how we understand things, and we put that in contradiction to God. And we say, God, we know better. I'll live my life this way. I will do this. And like a good parent, God comes and corrects us sometimes and says, that's not the way. This is the way I want you to go. And God says, actually, Jesus, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God. No one comes to everlasting peace, to salvation, to eternity, except through Him. And God, in His reckless love, and His overwhelming love for us, because God loves you. Do you know that? Do you know that God loves you? He loves you passionately. He gave everything for you because He loves you so much. Because He said, I love every single one of you. How you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Even if you've been on the naughty step, I love you. And I want you to be my friend. I want you to be my children. I want you to spend eternity with me and my presence and know my love. Who wants to be loved by God? I want to be loved by God because God's amazing. And He said, you know what? Because we put that barrier between Him and God, between God and ourselves, He sent Jesus to break that barrier, for Jesus to find a way, for Jesus to lead us to the Father, to Jesus to lead us to peace and hope and love, that we might have a Father in heaven who just grabs us and hugs us and says, I love you. And I'm so glad you came home to me. I'm so glad that you want to live for me and be in my presence. And God calls us to live for Him. And it's so easy to walk away in our own path and try to find our own direction, our own meaning, but it never really gets you to the place that you want to go to. You never really find true meaning. You never really find true understanding. You never find true peace. You only find true peace and meaning and understanding when Christ is in your life, when God is your Father and you live for Him. And God was so reckless that He sent Jesus. And you know what happened to Jesus? He was good. He was loving. He was kind. He was beautiful. He was wonderful. And what did the world do to Him? He said, I come to bring you peace. I come to bring you love. I come to bring you hope. I come to tell you of a Father who loves you. I've come to tell you of a better life, a better way to live. I've come and tell you about an eternity that you can spend with God. And what did the people do to Him, to Jesus? They rejected Him, didn't they? Jesus came to do good, and the world rejected Him. And it says here, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you. Christ suffered for us because the world rejected His message of love. He came to be good, do good, and He suffered because He did good. Just like you guys did, He suffered because He came to do good. He committed no sins, so no sins. There was nothing wrong in His mouth. He said nothing wrong. He only said peace and kindness and goodness. And when they hurled their insults at Him, you know, they insulted Jesus. Can you believe that? They insulted Jesus, even though He came talking about love. And He didn't retaliate. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, when people come with insults at us and call us names and do things. We want to retaliate, don't we? We say, who are you talking to? I'll sort you out. In Glasgow, we give people a Glasgow kiss, which is... I'll give you that, Jimmy. Yeah, that's it. Don't mess with me. I'm from Glasgow. You know, that's... So, it's so easy to retaliate. When people do wrong to you, it's so easy to go, and snap, and just want to do it. You see people in the cars driving all the time, don't they? And then somebody just does something little, and then all of a sudden they're freaking out, going, why did you do that? Oh, it's like all their anger comes out in one moment in the car. All the frustrations of life just come out in the car. And I'm going to make you suffer because you held me up for 3 seconds. You know. And this is the world that we live in. That people insult us for doing good rather than blessing us. That people reject the church rather than seeing the good that the church does. And he said he didn't make any threats. He just entrusted himself to God because God will judge. God will decide what is right and what is wrong. And he, in himself, he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins, things that are against God, things that are not right, things that are bad, things that are not nice, being nice to people, so that we might live for goodness and righteousness, that we might do good things and be fruitful and bring peace and hope and love into the world. And by his wounds we have been healed. That Jesus had to die on a cross and suffered. And when he suffered on that cross, his blood was spilled out for us. And we were reconciled to God. He became a sacrifice for us so that we might be reconciled to God. And live for God and love God and know God. And follow God and believe in him. And be his children and be accepted into his family. And by those very wounds we were healed. Healed of all our sin. Healed of all our own desires to do our own thing. Healed from all our desires to hurt our people and do wrong, and released in love to do goodness and kindness and hope and bring that into the world. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. See, we were like sheep gone astray. See, sheep without a shepherd or a dog just get lost and wander about. And that's what we're like with God. We just sort of wander around life trying to find a way. But God sent Jesus, the good shepherd, to guide us into life. In life and the full, and to be blessed by him. So we thank God for his wonderful love in Jesus Christ. And I do believe this morning, you know, think about Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus this morning, if you haven't accepted him into your life, then this is an opportunity today, after the service, to talk to somebody and say, you know what? I want to follow Jesus. I want to have Jesus my good shepherd. I want to live a life that's full of love and peace and hope. That's the life I want. I want to stop doing my own thing and I want to follow Jesus and believe in him. Amen.